Hello, hello. You're listening to a special Sunday edition of Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Kubicki. Had Carlos from Kubicki on the show almost a year ago, and a lot has happened since then, so we're back with a follow-up and a new album. We're going to start by listening to a track from their forthcoming CD, Aura. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Kubicki. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Hey, what's up, man?
So why don't we just start? And first, let me correct myself. I said this album is forthcoming, but it's not entirely accurate. It was just recently released in some places, and it's still about to be released in some other places.
Right, yeah.
We'll get to that in a second, but let's just start out with what is Kubicki. And Carlos, I saw you at a perform at Lava Lounge, which like Tower Records is no longer around.
Exactly.
And and then I had you on the show, and you had just started an album, and that was very much your project, and you had people helping you out. You had some featured artists.
Yeah. Well, actually, that was the Lava Lounge show. 3P and Alex were playing with me already, and there's when this new Kubicki started, actually. Like the new vibe as for the three of us as a band. Mm-hmm. And then a little after that, we decided to record an EP that became an album in a year after. So we're pretty happy about it.
So that was, you were sort of right at the beginning of a new formation of Kubicki. And
yeah,
now,
because as you said, it used to change all the time, but then suddenly it just like felt good the way it was, you know. I didn't have to move like for example, Alex as a drummer, that my drummer was the thing that used to change the most. Uh-huh. You know, and then Alex just, you know, like came to stay, you know. And Trippy, it was even like I never had a bass, like a real bass sound on Kubicki Live. It was all like synths and sequences. And when I heard like his amplifier on a Kubicki song, I was like, oh yeah, I need to have a bass, you know. And then he's like a warrior with me right now. It's like the three of us are just like doing all kinds of stuff, promotion, like playing around, being on the internet, just promoting, and it feels good. It's good.
Well, I didn't have a chance to actually interview any of your other band members last time, and so I'm actually kind of curious. Maybe you could tell me, Cesar, a little bit more about coming into this act. You know, like Carlos has this project with these electronic beats, and you were able to impress upon him the idea that, you know, live bass would really fill out the sound. Tell me about that.
Well, it was amazing because I was, I was going through a hard time in my life. Where, you know, the band I was with, it was just drama and all this and stuff. And
was that a rock band that you were doing?
Yeah, it was a rock band. But, you know, Carlos one day, he's like, I remember he called me over the phone. And so I don't know how he even got it, my number. But he said, hey, you know what? Can you play live with me on this show? And I'm like, sure. And at the beginning, it was kind of weird, you know, because it was like, wow, you know, I was never used to playing electronic, though I was really into it. And then when Alex came, it felt great. And as we were working on this album, there's this one night that, you know, Carlos just showed me this one song. He's like, dude, I think we should put this track in the album. And I'm like, let me hear it. And that's the night where we had already said that we were going to take it seriously, right? Obviously. But that was a night where I'm like, wow, you know, we have something going on as a clique, and the chemistry is just good. We understand each other so well, and Alex is a great drummer. Carlos was too, you know, he's amazed me all of these electronic things he knows. I'm like, how the hell does he come with that stuff, you know? I'm like, he's crazy in his mind, but it's just been a great experience that I'm enjoying even more now.
Now in the corporate world, you know, they have to break everything down into little compartmentalized genres. It's this or it's that or it's the other thing. And, you know, there seems to be three main elements to your music. There's electronic music, there's rock and roll, and then there's Latin themes.
Right.
And you know, you might end up being in three separate sections at the music store.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's a big point. That's a big point. Before, we used to be, because half of the CD was made in English, we were on the rock section of the on English, so all of our Latin friends, let's say,
they know where to find you.
They didn't know. I mean, they had to go through the people that work there. Hey, I'm looking for this band. But like, if they go to the Latin section and looking through the C, because most, like, you know, we're Latin, so it's like a logic thing to go to the Latin section. And it wasn't there. I went to look for my CD on the Latin section, and it wasn't there. So it's kind of weird, but our music right now will be a mashup of those three things. It's a Latin rock electronic band.
And is there any one thing that is more than the other, or is it a complete fusion of those three things?
It's a fusion. Because we are, before it was more of a dance feeling in the songs, mm-hmm. and on the first CD it has more of a dance feeling, and then it goes to the drum and bass. So it's really, really electronic. There was no live elements, no live bass, no live drums. It was all sequences. The only thing, it was my guitar and my voice, of course. And but now it sounds more rock, you know. Alex on the drums, he's a Led Zeppelin kind of punch guy, you know, and he's into a Nirvana and like grunge and really rock and roll. So that makes the band not to be like electronic anymore, you know. So it's half rock, half electronic, and in like 100% Latin. We're all Latin.
Did you decide you wanted to up the amount of rock and roll in this because of your experience playing live?
Like, no, it just happened. It just when you were practicing, you just feel whatever it's coming. Like this song that you just played, I show it to him. We were recording the CD, and we didn't have enough songs for the CD. So I pull out old tracks that I had. I used to be working by myself. And as soon as I show it to him, 20 seconds later, he knew the bass line. He's like, stop that. Let me go plug in the bass. I know the bass line already. Hold on. So things like that, you know, we couldn't plan it, or we were not thinking on what was going to happen. It just like started to flow. And that's how it is now. You know, it's more rock.
Let's listen to another track from this CD.
Let's do the single, which is Pirotecnicas. We have a video playing in MTV 3 for that song that Sofia Garza Barba, which is a director from Monterrey, Mexico. She made this video, and it's playing in MTV 3, so check it out.
That's fantastic. Yeah, they can only see it on MTV 3, so they can download it somewhere else?
Yeah, they can
YouTube
and or myspace.com/kubiki page. They can go see it, but you know, it's good for us. Like, if they can email MTV 3 and let them know that.
Sure,
you
play
know,
it some
support,
more.
Support.
All right, this is Pirotecnicas off of the new Kubiki album. Check it out. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Amanecer tirado en la arena, mirando luces, pirotécnicas, pirotécnicas. Amanecer tirado en la arena, mirando luces, pirotécnicas, pirotécnicas. No puedes resistirte más, me estás besando más, yo sé que quieres más. Al estar en plena luna llena, mi instinto animal me llama. Animal me llama.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Kubiki. We were talking a little bit while that song was playing about Latin music and electronic music, and how I mean, right now we're sort of, and I think I actually in our first interview I kind of mentioned this because it was just starting, and almost a year later it's reaching like a pinnacle. That it's the golden age of Latin electronic music. It used to be all about Germany and right, and yeah. England, and now, and I don't know, maybe it's because technology has become more accessible to people to make electronic music, or right. if it's just an evolution of beat-oriented music from Latin America.
I think it's
Latin
about the beats, because, you know, the north of Mexico, which has a tambora, which is based on a tuba, which is the bass part of the metals, like the trumpet and saxophone, so it sounds like boom, 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 mm-hmm. boom. So when you add that to a techno beat, which goes toots, 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 it makes it interesting.
Right.
It makes it like, it makes you feel like you want to start moving your head, you know? I went to see these guys live with a like 18-piece live band from like Norteño music. So it was actually, like, it was really crazy to see like trance music from Mexico played with like tubas and trumpets and, you know, snares. And it was really, it was a great show. So, and it's hitting, as you say, it's breaking barriers. Kinky's breaking barriers.
Well, I was just going to ask you, the success of artists like Kinky, has that helped you guys be a little bit more accessible when you're presenting yourself?
Definitely, because even at our live shows, you know, people from not only are the public, the fans and friends, but also people from the industry have mentioned comments like, oh, you guys should do a tour with Kinky. And, you know, and it's surprising because, I mean, a lot of the people, you know, we've been playing for Asian or you know, American as well, and they seem to dig the music, and you kind of like observe them and see like, oh man, these guys are starting to know more about our music and what's going on. And like you were saying in the question, you know, your comment is like, you don't have to go to Europe anymore. You know, there's good artists in Brazil or in Mexico, and you know, there's more outlets now, I guess, all the technology, as you say.
And for example, Kinky, that has their music playing on every single commercial, now you see the people buying stuff, like going through Latin artists to see, oh, let me see how they sound, let me see what they have.
And, you know, and these are English-speaking customers
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah. Because it's all just like same, like when I was born in Mexico, I didn't know what the Beatles were saying on their songs, but I just still love them. Mm-hmm. So it's all about the music, not about the language. I think our next target and my main dream is Japan.
Nice.
I want to play Japan.
No, it's because we had this one show in Santa Monica, and there were a lot of Asian people, and they were like, you know, we started playing, I don't know where, they were just grooving to a music, yeah, you know.
They just rock out.
They rocked out, and they it was don't like, care. Wow, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there is an international language, right, it's the beat.
That's right, you know? Exactly, yeah.
Now, speaking of languages, what are you saying in these songs? When you write these songs, what are your, what's the lyrical content for people who don't speak Spanish?
Okay, it's all about the good vibes, having fun. It's a lot of like sexiness, you know, kinky-ish kind of stuff. And what else? We're talking about our auras, which is or the colors on the songs. We're talking about...
And that's where the title of the album comes from?
That's how the title of the album came out. When we were listening to the songs on the studio, we were having a hard time looking for a name, and then suddenly Trippy on the studio, he went, aura. It needs to be aura, because it's the same in Spanish, same in English, and it just matches perfectly all of that energy that we were feeling about the three of us putting this thing together, working hard, you know, everything getting into place. And you know, it's just a good aura that we had, you know.
So would you say in the writing of the words, you're sort of carrying on a tradition of dance music where the emphasis is on describing a feeling that you want your audience to have
right.
when they're listening to music, as opposed to telling a story about, you know,
no, a
sandwich
few,
you had last
few,
week. You
there's
know?
A few tracks that actually tell a story.
There's a few mm-hmm. stories, yeah. There's funny stories too.
Yeah, but on the sense is like, even though there's stories, they have this, or like Carlos was saying, like that, the get your beat, or this stories, I'm sorry to say that, they have this feeling, about the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
We were, I guess we concentrated a lot on the vibe that we were trying to transmit to all the people. And it just worked out that way.
Did you come up with that idea just from seeing how people responded to the music when you did live performances?
No, it just came naturally. Before, it used to be games of words to me, like puzzles of words, like putting words together, like
grabbing, double meanings.
Yeah, grabbing, like, exactly. Yeah, there was a lot of double meanings, and I got to realize that people doesn't like a lot of that metaphor. You know, they wanted it to be more straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm way more straightforward on these lyrics. There's not much metaphors. There's more like I tell it like it is, you know. And it's we had a lot of fun doing it, like putting it together too about the words. We use the words as one more instrument. So sometimes I say the same phrase all over, but you know, it's all about the catchiness,
right?
About
the way it sounds. The music,
it's more like a vocal sample than
exactly.
A lyric.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can people get Aura right now if they wanted to buy the CD? Is it
right
available
now
online?
They can buy it online at cdnow.com or
CD Baby as well. Amazon.
Amazon is going to be available in iTunes in 2 weeks from now, which the date will be.
Like at the end of April. It'll be available as well as, like I said, Ritmo Latino, and also Virgin Records carries it. Amoeba. And I guess they're trying to the distributor are trying to find out a little bit more of outlets that were mentioning trying to get it in Target, but
but you know, for the people online, I mean, if you're not in LA, you're not familiar with all of those stores, you can just go online and, you know, write down Kubiki on Google, and then Amazon is gonna show up.
Cool. Also, make sure to come to our shows, because we have our little store, traveling store there.
Yeah.
You can buy all kinds of goodies.
That's one of the things that we focus a lot on, changing every show, at least here in LA, to change every show, to make it different, to project video, to make it, you know, interesting for the people to keep coming back to and not be bored. You know, like, oh, I saw them 2 weeks ago, I don't want to go see them.
Right, but now they'll come back and say, oh, I wonder what they're going to do next.
Exactly. Yeah. We want them to feel like they want to see every single show of Kubiki of the rest of their lives, you know, because, you know, it's fun, it's interesting. You know, you go there and you forget about your job, and you know, if you have problems with your girlfriend and whatever, you know, you're just there to have fun.
And have you found that over the past year or so that your audience is gradually building, and each show you see more people and more of the same people, and they've brought their friends? And
yeah, maybe I'm gonna put the same example that everybody does, but when you hear them singing, there's when you know that something is happening, you know. And
nice.
And when all of the comments in MySpace, all of the feedback from little things that we do on MySpace, like we had this contest that, how was the contest for the 25 people that had us on our...
Oh, yeah, on your top friends and like, Jesus.
And have some kind of Kubiki stuff on their profiles. And people, like, I would go to profiles and the entire background was Kubiki.
Wow.
And, you know, their songs, and they were...
We had this one girl that actually I don't know if she did a Photoshop or whatever, but she grabbed, you know, the world, an image of the world, and she shaded with our logo, which just I happen to have as a tattoo. It's a little head with headphones, and she put it around it. It looks so cool.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah, she wrote something like Kubiki around the world or something like that. And that's, to us, it's, you know, it's the best thing that can happen. It's when I can see that our job is paying off, you know,
mm-hmm.
or hard work, because trust me, it's really hard. It's stressful, and you know.
And one thing that Carlos hasn't known, but I just saw it this week, which completely blew my mind, is someone tattooed on his back Kubiki.
You're kidding.
That was just took my breath away. Like, wow, you know.
That's new to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's listen to another track from the CD. We'll come back, and I want to talk about this a little bit more, just this idea of sort of creating this this emotion and this, like, excitement about, you know, a band and an idea and a new musical adventure. It's really amazing. And also, so it's myspace.com/Kubiki. That's Kubiki. And you also have a website in addition to the MySpace?
Kubiki.com.
Yeah, it's under construction. I also, before I forget, we're on the cover of this Latin alternative magazine, which is free to pick up. It's called Al Borde. And it's free in every single music store, like all Sunset in Hollywood. You can buy, you can just get it in one of those little red stands, you know.
Nice.
And we're on the cover, and we have the little story about our lives and our aura right there. So it
your
cool
your little band you. That took over the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. What should we play next?
I think you should do Ombligo.
Which
Ombligo is one of the other one of the funny stories that we made up that we were talking about. And people seems to like a lot. It talks about a belly button.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kubicki. Check it out. Back on Is Good on killradio.org with Kubicki. So we're just talking about how people get excited about your music and, you know, can amaze you with what they want to give back to you. Like, you give them so much by just making the music, and there's no way to really return the favor as a fan other than to come to the shows. But right. The case we were just talking about, I mean, this girl got a tattoo of your logo.
Yeah.
You know, and she's been helping you out and everything. That's really amazing.
Priceless.
It's funny how people get really... It's interesting. People get really excited about a band. It's like it takes a personal part of their lives, you know.
Correct.
That there's this almost like you're some sort of supernatural, you know, like an angel character or something, like sending messages through your music. And I don't mean in a creepy way, in a supportive way, you know. I saw Ozomatli play live at Amoeba the other day and to promote their new album. And, you know, it came out that day. I think it was the beginning of April. And they're performing these new songs I'd never heard before. And I'm looking around at this packed music store, and everybody but me seems to know the words. This CD hasn't come out yet, you know? Like,
they must
have been listening to it on the MySpace or downloading it, you know, for free from the website or something. You know, like, they wanted to be involved. They wanted to feel like they were in touch with the band, even though they weren't playing live and the CD wasn't available yet, you know?
That's one of the most rewarding parts about being a musician, when you can touch somebody's heart, you know, with your lyrics. That maybe to me, in the old CD, I have this example that I was talking about myself being burned out for my old band. I was talking about that I wanted to, you know, it was time for separation, even though what I hurt to me so bad because I was with them for 10 years and whatever.
And it's a relationship.
And then this guy from Mexico heard the song, and he's a video director, and he's like, and he had a divorce. So he felt so much in touch with that song. But I, you know, we were thinking of two different things, you know, but even like that, he was amazed for the song. He's like, one of these days I'm going to make a video. Of course, it hasn't happened yet. It's from the old CD. I don't think it's going to happen. And but the point is that, you know, I touched his heart, not even like thinking on that, you know. I just wanted to get this feeling out of me. And then suddenly I just got this feedback from that guy. And then this other friend that we have.
There's also a guy that we have. You would see him and you would totally think he's Tom Araya from Slayer. He looks like dark and all, like, yeah, you know, buff and serious. And I was playing the album. I mean, you know, when we were recording it, and we played this song that it's kind of like a sad song. It talks about a little bit about separation and how sometimes people want to, you know, shadow your dreams and, you know, and put obstacles in your path so you don't achieve them.
But at the end, you guys, like, paths are together, so you can separate. So at the end, after everything that happened, you know, your path comes back to the V parallel, and you guys are, you know, back together. I mean, not together as a relationship, but, you know, you guys are going,
walking the same path.
Exactly.
Yeah, but and at the end of the song, it's like, you know, there's always hope, and, you know, at least that's what Carlos said or something. But and I was listening, you know, I'm just playing to him, and I don't know where I just turned around, and I just see him crying, but like crying like he was feeling
like
and,
moved.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like, I'm speechless, right? And he just turns around and to me, and he just gives me a hug, and like, damn. And those are the things that you're like, wow, you know, I'm even if people don't buy the album, which I do want them to buy it, but you feel like it's paid
that's
off.
A form of payment you can't like, quantify.
Yeah, priceless.
It's interesting too, like lyrics, it's different from you know, writing a book or a screenplay or something like that. You can, there's certain ways of writing lyrics where you can be talking about something completely different. But if the idea is about loss and hope in the end, then they can take that story that you wrote about something and apply it to their own lives. And, and it feels like that person wrote the song for you, even though it's totally different. That's really an amazing thing. And now, in terms of, we're talking about, you know, building your audience and getting band artists, audience is excited about you. How far does Kubicki have to go to sort of reach that level where it's like, okay, we made it? Like, for some bands, it's like, listen, if I go and I play some small cafe somewhere and someone comes up to me and says, your song really meant something to me, then I've accomplished my goal. And you know, obviously, that you guys are going many steps beyond that.
I want to answer part of this question with an experience that happened to us. Carlos' mom. She's one of our biggest fans, I would say.
Supportive.
And
yeah.
Supportive.
That's
and
good.
I don't know where I think we were putting our equipment back in our cars because we had a gig or something. And then Carlos, I don't know where, he goes, oh, look, my mom made this for us. And it's like this collage. It's like this piece of carton with, you know, little cuts from a magazine and stuff like that. And she's made this collage of things, you know, where she has Kubicki like playing stadium in Europe.
She always
or
takes my posters or my stickers or whatever, and she made this Kubicki collage. And she's got stadiums full of people. She's got a huge house with a big pool. She's got nice cars. She's got like hands writing nice songs. And she wrote stuff. Like, she's very religious, and she wrote like, oh, well, this is the hand that is going to help me to write better songs and stuff. So we call it, it's our map, you know, because we go and look at it, and that's like our goal. My mom says that want something really bad and you look at it and you focus it, you're going to get it. So that would answer the question. We see ourselves in stadiums, you know, and, you know, with, I mean, I don't care about the house with a pool. I'm fine with a little studio, single studio. I don't care about that, you know, but I want to be able to give my feelings in my music to a lot of people.
A lot of people at once and all different kinds of people too, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we don't mind like playing like, you know, like small venues to big venues, but I mean, you know, we're thinking, we're seeing the big picture. You know, we're barely beginning and starting. I think for Carlos especially, because you know now he knows that he has two guys that he can lean on and like
two warriors. You know, yeah, because before, like he was saying, I was the only one supporting and doing and sending the stuff and doing the emails and right now that I feel like I have a backup. You know, I was kind of. At the beginning, when they told me, yeah, we want to work, I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, everybody says that at the beginning. Yeah,
they want to work. But then when I gave them the password for the Kubiki the MySpace site, I had 3,000 friends, like 3,500 friends. And right now, a year after, we have 23,000.
Uh-huh.
So that means that he is really doing his job, you know, like, I mean... Not that it's a job, but, you know, he does it because he believes in the band. And that's something that, to me, is, you know, it's...
Yeah, you got to contribute more than your musical talent for a band to work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and even though people support you and stuff like that, I mean, that's, I think, one of a point to talk about a little bit is that we see it in a lot of bands that they're so talented. And at the beginning, you see them, you know, wow, out there, you know, promoting and this stuff. And once they reach to a point... It's like, you know, they think they made it.
They
stop. Right, and then let the managers and everybody else just deal
with it. We don't have to do anything, and we don't believe in
it. Because it's not all about rock and roll and go up there and being a rock star and play and enjoy. There's, like, signatures that you have to do, band partnerships, you know, contracts, all kinds of stuff that suddenly when you have to make a band partnership, then there's when most of the bands separate.
Right.
You know, oh my God! How come you're gonna make more than I do? And if you're writing, so we split up like evenly. You know, we all work the same. We all are on the same, you know, boat. So we're all gonna make the same. You know, and nobody's mad. We're all cool. And you know, if I make something, you're gonna make something. So that's how right now it's working. You know, it's a really. You know, it's a good way to work.
Yeah, and we think of keeping it that way for the rest.
And it's just the three of you, right?
Yeah.
And does that tie into the name of the band, Kubiki, the cube?
That's on the Alborde magazine. They were talking about that it seems just like...
Sarcastically, it happened that way.
Yeah, when because, Carlos came up because with we have...
You had the name before you had the whole
right,
band.
Right. And it just... Because when they did the logo... and they gave it back to me after at the end of the Kubiki word there was this three, and I emailed back to these guys in Argentina. I'm like, why, what's the three for? And he's like, well, it's the mathematical formula cube. And I was like, whoa, you know, I love the idea. I didn't even think about it. And then it's three of us, you know.
And your equals, especially, you know, a cube is made of three equal parts, you know. I mean, it really works well.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's what they were mentioning on the magazine, and I was really like thinking about it. I was like, oh.
Yeah, the guy was surprised that, you know, that it seemed like Carlos had thought about it, but no, it just happened.
It used to be a trio on the first CD. After everybody helped me, I had like four different singers. And all kinds of people, like, putting a little stuff on the CD. After all that, when I put the band together, like, to put it on live, there was three of us. And that was the first time. And then it just started to change. Then there was four of us. And there was five of us one time, you know, with congas and, you know, all kinds of, you know, live stuff. But right now, it's just like a power rock and roll trio, you know. And
wow.
It feels good. It sounds great. We love it.
Well, listen, why don't we'll play one more track from the CD and we'll call it a day. But I want to talk to you first about your live situation. You guys have been performing a lot lately.
Yeah. We came back from Chicago, from Phoenix, and we did our CD release party here. And we're hoping for our tour and summer tour to
Mexico. We're actually going
to
play right now, and we're lucky to got invited by this hamburger brand to play the Fiesta Broadway on the 29th of this month.
Oh, that's a big. That's a nice big show, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's a massive. Then, yeah, on the street, they close down the streets in downtown.
It's free, so everybody wants to come. It's. I think that the whole show is between 12 noon to 3 p.m. Wow.
And they just heard your music like somewhere, MySpace or something.
Yeah, they said that. I think they contact our manager and then they send this letter of invitation. And then we are also playing on the 2nd of May at
House of Blues in Anaheim. It's a free show too, so for everybody that wants tickets, they can just email or write down to the MySpace and then they're in.
And are you guys thinking about doing a kind of world tour and bringing Kubiki to Japan?
Actually, after that, they're setting up a tour for the East Coast. And also we haven't gone to San Francisco, San Jose, and all that stuff here. And then also for the summer, I think there's the Mexico tour.
Yeah, Mexico. And then a little bit of South America, like Honduras and Ecuador and Salvador, which Orvideo is playing.
It's actually, our video is also in Venezuela, because our CD is going to get released in Colombia as well as we speak.
Nice.
And then we have to get somehow, if there's any promoter out there in Asia, Carlos wants to play so bad in Japan. We have to go to Japan.
Is there a difference when you guys perform in Latin America in the way the audience receives your music?
Yeah.
They get it more? Or
For some reason, Latin people that goes to the shows here, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about nobody, but, you know, they want to look good and they're all like, you know, they're going there to hook up and stuff.
They're very Los Angeles.
Exactly. And in Mexico, they just there to rock and to party.
They don't care if they have to sit down on the floor right in front of you to see you.
They don't care if they have one blue sock and one and yellow sock. You know, they're not there to look good. They're just there to rock. And
that kind of vibe probably helps you guys do the best performance, too.
Definitely,
huh?
Yeah.
I think the whole necessity of, you know, here we have so many outlets that I guess at one point you get like, oh my God, like there's so much going on, you know, that you don't know where to go. But in Mexico, I guess there's not that much of a media, and it encourages everyone to investigate about a little bit more about music. So when you get there, you know, you see that the people, the crowd, they are so open-minded, and you know, you might see that the first song or second song, they're kind of understand what's going on, and then you get to the middle of your showing. Jesus, they're like jumping.
They've decided they're going to accept you and they take you in completely.
Yeah, they embrace you. It's really cool.
Internet helps us a lot because when we got there, there was people that like this girl knew us the song, and I didn't have a girl like singing in that time. And I used to like to have a girl every time just to do the female vocal parts of the old CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I just brought her into the stage, and I didn't even know her. I just knew that she knew the lyrics. So she was a singer from this other band that was opening up. So I just told her to come up to the stage, and she just started singing. She knew the words. She, one of her
her messenger actually has the title of one of our
of the songs. Yeah, like her email is the title of one of our songs. So you know, when you see that, it's like something is happening, you know.
And by the way, I want to say hola to Marco in Mexico, who's I'm pretty sure he's listening to the show right now.
All right, for anyone who is listening live, wants to hear it again, or if you want to tell someone where they can hear it, this interview will be available for download from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood, probably by tomorrow. It's also podcasting on iTunes, so check it out. Also check out kubiki.com and myspace.com/kubiki. And what shall we leave everybody with? What track?
Let me see. I'm sorry. Should we do... maybe Soy or It's Alright. Let's do It's Alright, which is in English.
All right, yeah.
It's Alright.
We have to be fair.
All right. I'm trying to figure out what track it is. There we go. All right.
It's Alright and It's Good.
You'll be listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck.